It's been a while, but welcome back to Four Guys,
One Film.
And we saw a strange one today, you know, not very typical of the choices that I make, but an anime film called Mind Game, directed by Masaki Yuasa, from 2004, I believe. Is that correct? 2004?
That's correct, yes, that's but correct. It got released in the U.S. in 2018.
That's crazy. So 14 years later, the U.S. could enjoy this beautiful piece of media. Well, you know, it's weird because I don't really know how to describe the film plot-wise or even like, I mean, it's really just about life, right? But I think it's the presentation of life and the different possibilities of life that makes this animated film really special to me, because I'm not really a big anime guy. I know most of you guys are, but I'm not. But this, I really gravitated towards this. I saw this like years ago, and I've usually recommended it to other people, and I think I've even recommended it to you guys before. But yeah, I'm glad we could finally get together and watch it. But I guess what I really want to know is just like first impression, like what do you guys feel coming out of the end of this?
It was experimental. It was weird. It had some really good fucking nuance points, like, you know, live life in a way with no limits, kind of don't let anything hold you back. It was fun. So let's just fucking get weird with it.
Let's get weird, dude.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm just going to take my pants off right now. Let's get weird.
I mean, I don't know how else to describe it, but, you know, it's got a lot of different, unique
things. It's got everything, I feel like. You know, it's got some, like, really good car chase scenes. Like, the music is on top. It's got crazy art styles. I mean, you know, you got Yakuza involved. You got a giant whale involved. You got a crazy old man and...
you got God involved a couple
of times.
You got
God?
Oh yeah, I got spiritual up in that.
Got super spiritual. And so, like, you know, for sure I feel like whoever created the film or even the manga of Mind Game, they must have been on drugs at some point. You know, they must have been, you know, using some sort of substance to amplify their reality.
Well, I think Andre said it best. He said that it's a breath of fresh air because this is so fucking unique, and it's like one of those experiences where you're like, This is nothing like you've ever seen before.
Right.
Which is great. I do agree, Alexis. They must have been on something fucking in order to make this movie, because it kind of lost me a little bit, but then it brought me back. Yeah. And then it's like at the end, it all kind of came together.
It comes together.
And I think the way that you described it is perfect, because one of the sequences where he meets God and he dies, spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
It literally felt like for me like a bad mushroom trip that I had this one time, where God is changing faces consistently every like 2 seconds, and he's just morphing into these different characters, and it's like, I'm whatever you want me to be, like, you decide who I am or what I am. And it's like
Mike Tyson in a miniskirt.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He took all these weird ass fucking forms.
Was it weird in that trip when God took his pants down too? Or no?
Yeah.
This is not spot on. I mean, it's so weird because, like, I had a trip like that where, you know, your brain is firing at all cylinders, and like you're looking at shapes and people, and they start slowly morphing into different kinds of beings, and like you're feeling a bit euphoric, but at the same time you're feeling like odd and disconnected and scared. And it's like all these emotions are coming to you at once, and that's exactly what that scene resembled, at least to me, with that similar experience. So that kind of, like, I didn't like that scene at all, because I was like, holy shit.
Oh, it gave you some PTSD.
Yeah, a little bit. But also, most people have good experiences when they you know, take mushrooms or acid and they see those kinds of figures. But myself, I was just kind of like, okay, I don't like this, let's change this.
But in general, I like that depiction of God. I like the idea that it was like, you know, just beyond the, you know, effort with the art that they put in just to consistently change it, just thematically thinking like, oh, it's someone who's such a higher being that their form, you can't really visualize it, so your brain keeps changing what they look like in your head, what they sound like, and everything. Yeah. And then even just like the bro-y aspect of God the whole time, where they're like, I got a date, or they're like, what, just go over there and get out of my face.
Yeah.
Like, it was funny, you know, it brought a little bit of like that lightheartedness to such a impactful moment like his death, you know?
Yeah, I think this film really plays around with different perceptions of reality, where there are a lot of times where I was lost, where I'm like, I thought we were following this main plot line, but then we go into like this like Jetsons thing with like the three kids in the future and with this like really cool dude, and then we're back in with the main line, like
in the whale.
Yeah, yeah, in the whale, and but somehow it still came together at the end. But then you see different versions of what happen, and it's very confusing. It's very confusing, but it's very enjoyable, and I mean, you know, the crux of this film is just like you have to live.
Yeah, life is fleeting.
Yeah, life is fleeting, so live it as best you can.
Playful. Almost, dare I say, a mind game.
Oh. Bro.
Whoa. When he stepped on that squid, it was a squid game.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best.
Sums up this movie.
No, this is one of those movies, though, that just leaves you just the whole time. You're like, what the speechless. Fuck did I just
speechless.
Witness?
Speechless. Yeah.
And I do really like, go ahead.
Yeah, and I guess, like, for me, the best compliment I can give this film is that, sure, like, the visuals are a big calling point for the movie, but at the end of it, you're still able to recognize that they're in service of, like, the broader, like, themes that it's tackling. And mm-hmm. I think that made it a much more impactful viewing.
Yeah, I think the movie is very motivational. Yeah. Like, I think it does really well in, like, I guess, kind of charging your way through to seeing them escape. I mean, just that whole scene where they're escaping the whale, like running up the water, like it was so imaginative and inventive. It's just like I truly felt like I was running too. Yeah. Like that's how thrilling that was for me.
Man, see, honestly, that shit was fucking hilarious at times. Leaving
it was
the whale.
So good. When he started stepping on the pieces of shrapnel, the wood, right. I was like, okay, I like that's silly. It's
and he
cool.
goes that fly.
And then he started stepping on fish, and then a
on
fly.
Adams,
and then there's a plane, a skyscraper. I'm like, right. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah, and then he ran
fuck.
Through the building.
It would go like, it was like a boat, and then a train, and then a plane, and then a building. You're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's like, it keeps one-upping itself on the levels of ridiculousness, but also the animation and that scene itself, it's still so fucking good that you're
right.
like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Like, let's run with it.
But I guess as a question for me is, you know, in a movie that's trying to convey such a like deep message, do you feel like consistency is more impactful than having this kind of jumble of different art styles and random ass scenes and like funny moments?
When they're like dancing.
Like, does it almost gag, like, you know, like little bits rather than actually something deep for you guys? How did you guys feel about that?
I mean, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, well, I guess when thinking about that, it's like, is it driven by purpose? Because you could have a linear story, a non-linear story, but the fact that it throws so much at you, but you still feel like it was worth something. And so at the end of the day, like, does it really matter as long as it's a great story?
Right. As long as it's telling
Can I add something to that? I feel like what makes this movie, like, okay for the most part is that it just shows that this guy had heart.
What do you mean by okay? Define okay.
There were some things I didn't like, right? Like, the flatness of, like, but that's, like, me being picky, but like I think overall, like, you just see like the heart that this director, the animators, put into it.
Absolutely.
And I think that's just very prominent in like when you see it, like when I've seen other animated stuff, like, yeah, they probably have better animation, they have probably a better overall, there's an actual fucking storyline for the most part, right? But they just don't have heart, you know.
But I guess the big thing that my question is, though, is effort enough? Obviously, maybe this is more directed at some of us who watch anime and stuff like that, but you have things like Jujutsu Kaisen, which is like crazy amount of efforts by huge studio production, you know, almost like basically working their people to the ground for like the sake of making a beautiful anime. But that effort is loved and adored by fans, don't get me wrong. But in this case, they could have done something like that, but I feel like they almost made their lives harder by having such inconsistency with their art styles. Now, was that just showing off? Is that effort for effort's sake? Like, what did you feel like beyond it looked pretty or you hated it, whatever your opinions of the art style is, how did that add to it?
To me, it added because it was again, it's very different, it's very experimental, as like we've been saying, but I watched it and it just felt like there was, again, I don't know how to explain it more than just like heart. And like I've seen a bunch of it, like it's one of the reasons why I stopped watching anime and just read more mangas for the most part. Is because like when you read a manga, you can feel the heart of like the guys who are actually making it.
Anyway.
Compared to like when I see like just an anime that they're just like, oh, they're only gonna make this for 12 episodes. There's like no heart behind it. Like there's just like, oh, these, they know they're not gonna continue to
It's like One Punch Man season one versus season two. You know, season two is just absolutely horrible compared to the animation.
Yeah, they're doing a season three. It's going to come out very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me,
that's the joke. That's the joke. It gets progressively worse.
Right.
That's what animes do.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how you guys feel like, but for me, like I felt like the art style also played into the whole idea of life is just a jumble of moments, but you can't fucking like. No one can plan it as much as you mm-hmm. want to try.
Or even try to make sense of it.
Sometimes there's no making sense of it.
Yeah.
And like to add on, like life isn't something that you can always say is conventional. So why have a conventional approach to
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So like that's how I felt about it.
Here, let me quote something. This is straight from the director. He said, instead of telling it serious and straight, I went for a look that was a bit wild and patchy. I think that Japanese animation fans today don't necessarily demand something that's so polished. You can throw different styles at them, and they can still usually enjoy it.
Well, like I said, I enjoyed it. Mm. Like, yeah. But
I think what Gator's on about is the 2D animation. Like in the beginning, was very bland. It looked choppy.
Not even that. I liked it because it reminded me, I feel like he cheaped out in some cases where he could have continued the psychedelicness and like some of like he made at some points a 2D look 3D, even though we were looking at a 2D scenario, right? And sometimes there was lack of effort in like.
I don't think there was any lack of effort because I think it was all intentional. I think that
yes.
what there was bland like animation, and then it transitions into the colorful craziness
and realistic art style.
It's kind of like so you feel the contrast, and then you see that the
exactly
feelings are changing.
Yeah,
and it all flows in a way that kind of makes sense, even though it's like you said, not. Traditional or you know
it just didn't hit that mark for you
for me I'm very similar to George in the sense of like for me this feels like if a movie had moments where it was fully told in black and white and then it went like Technicolor and you're just like you can't appreciate sometimes like the vibrancy of color without taking it away completely. You know, and so I feel like that's what this does is giving you such bland art style, almost stick figure-ish type faces at times, and like then going into very detailed, like water motion and stuff.
It's like
shocking
the senses.
It is, and it's. I understand that at times, like there's certain like art styles that might not be to a person's liking, but I do feel like the extremes is what makes it enjoyable overall.
I think one thing is like, you know, having, you know, 2D kind of static animation styles that maybe doesn't work, but something about this movie, like they do motion extremely well.
Yes.
Like the way that they run, like the way the things move, like it somehow feels real and natural, if that makes any sense.
And it's weird when they do like we talked a lot about the running scene at the end, but having the character still look very cartoonish while the background with the water looks very realistic.
Yeah, very real.
It's a trip, you know? It really does feel, like, weird, and it helps elevate the heart rate a little bit and get you a little bit more intense with it. It's fun.
It's like what I would compare to, like, Into the Spider-Verse, for example. A lot of people are like, it's either you like the animation or you don't, you know, because you can be like, oh, I don't like the comic book style. But it's like, they animated that way on purpose because that was the whole fucking point, you know? So it's like, it either hits that mark or it doesn't for people. And it's like, that film was fucking gorgeous,
right?
And most people can agree, but I mean if it didn't hit that mark for you, Gator, it just didn't hit, you know? But
exactly.
Again, it just feels like sometimes when you're watching this movie and you see like all this effort and heart that he put in, 80% of the movie, like 20% just feels really flat. And even in the scenes where you're supposed to see the contrast, I do see the contrast, and I appreciate some of the artwork that he did in those contrasty moments, right? Where like, again, they're just there crying. I like when they were crying when they realize that they're fucking stuck there and they try running out. I really like that scene because I'm like, you know what? They have to feel some type of adversity. They just can't walk out of here. There's a reason why this old man has been in here for fucking 30
years. Wait, Isaac, you're losing me because you were initially talking about the style, the art style, but now you're talking about the emotion.
That's why I'm bringing up that scene, because that scene was very contrasted to most of the movie. And that was very black and white.
You're saying like the emotion, the feeling was kind of bleak in that moment.
Yeah, because he does it really well of animating through the characters. But I'm just saying there's some scenes that just felt really fucking flat.
I mean like tonally?
Like there was like no, there was like, it didn't really make sense. It didn't go well with, I guess, what everything that, all the effort that he was putting in throughout most of the movie.
Yeah. I felt like the art style to some extent too was like emotional at times. Like you know, like when you look at him dying and like the situation when he's up with God and he's very like fluid and like he's like just one dimensional, like one color. Like reflecting how he's just feeling blue itself, and he's a blue character. Like I liked how that was a thing throughout the whole movie. It's like sometimes, you know, when they were feeling like their best, you'd see like their actual actor faces. Like they actually had multiple different actors, like put like on top, like
pixelated pictures. Exactly, of the actors.
Yeah, on top, like especially with like the Yakuza boss or whatever. Yeah. Like he was fully animated the whole time.
That was fucking hilarious to me. Every time I saw that face, that was funny shit. It was funny. It added to the scene. It just wasn't like bland, you know.
So this movie came out in 2004. So was this 04. All hand animated, or was any of it like computer generated?
Well, yeah, I mean, there was definitely some computer generated stuff. Like when you see the 3D scan of him getting shot in the ass.
Yes.
Yeah, right, with the polygons and all that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That's hilarious of God to just be like, hey, you just fucking died. Yeah. Let me put a quick replay of it.
Yeah, and make sure you can't run away from it.
I think the first time I saw this movie, when he like comes back and like grabs the gun with his butthole, I think I had to like replay that scene a few times because it was just that funny.
But,
for me,
that, I don't know. To me, that scene made a lot of sense though because it no.
As a practice martial artist, that's a move.
He's like, I would have never let him get that far. Once he puts that gun right in my asshole, I would have.
Yeah. Right, you would have clenched him, shot him in the head.
Yeah, bro. Exactly.
No, but think
all in one swift movement.
But think about it. If God didn't replay that for him in 3D, ultra wide, like he would have never changed his ways and tried to become a different person.
Oh, you're talking about the God portion. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the asshole gun.
No. I'm just talking about something good over here.
Yeah.
Well, hey, no, the asshole kung fu is pretty good, too.
I was going to say, yeah. You can't I say thought you were talking, yeah, the asshole kung fu is
I'm
legit.
I'm talking about, like, the whole scene as a whole. Because yeah. I'm like, if he would have never, if God was telling him, like, hey, die, which he kind of did, but at the same time, he's like, oh, maybe my life could be better over there. And then he went for it, you know? He technically had two options, because God never really stopped him. God could have stopped him at any fucking point. Yeah.
Well, like you know, that's why I also like, you know, this main character, because he just took the chance. You know, I think maybe for so long he was like, I'm a fucking loser. And he's like, you know what? I got nothing left to lose now. Like, yeah, I'm just gonna go for it.
God was even trolling him once he died. He was like, you're a fucking nobody.
Yeah. But then once he crossed that line, he was like, good luck. Like,
yeah,
no, you got
yeah,
this.
He's like, I'm on your side. Yeah. I'm rooting for you.
Respected in that, which is dope. Also, I think that the fact that they didn't go the traditional route with, you know, hammering in the moral of the story, which what I thought was going to be the moral, like, hey, I'm going to give you another chance. You're coming back from the dead.
Yeah.
Live your life to the fullest. And then it takes a complete 180, and it's like, all right, we're stuck in a well now. We're going to go fucking, you know, do something
else. It forces
the
movie to slow
down. Yeah, and I'm just kind of like, what the fuck? I thought the whole movie was just going to be him, like, living another life and, like, getting a second chance, and then it just goes
a completely
because
that's
different
the Western media that's inside your mind,
that's
George.
What I appreciated about that because I was like, oh, shit, it's so fucking out there.
What do you think that says about, like, because, okay, so one of the biggest arguments I've always heard against animated films or anime in general is that it's, like, for kids, right? And, like, don't get me wrong.
Not for kids.
There's plenty of, like, four-kid type anime and animated films. But, like, when you compare movies like this and a lot of the stuff, like, Studio Ghibli likes to do, compared to like Disney's work or DreamWorks, where it's like, yeah, they're funny, but they don't really take risks. Like this movie and a lot of those, like Princess Mononoke, you know, me and you were talking about The Boy and the Heron, like where you're like confused. Like you got to think that as a studio, they're a little worried that people aren't going to resonate with a film when they have to think so hard. And it kind of like separates people away from it. Like it makes people not want to do it. But in my opinion, it's the opposite. Like, yeah, you might not enjoy everything that's animated.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually have to think, and because it's animated, when you have the liberty to like have such out there crazy shit, like getting sucked in by a whale and, you know, running through all these different buildings and obstacles and shit and stepping on atoms, you can't do that in live action.
Yeah.
Like, and if you can, you're that's a budget that realistically most movies don't ever get.
Or it looks really cheesy.
Or it looks cheesy as fuck, right? So I don't know, like, how do you guys feel when it comes to that obscurity that these Japanese animated movies like to do?
Well, I think one solid point that I don't know if you guys agree with this, but it almost proves your point entirely. All the new live action movies that Disney are releasing, for the most part, they're kind of missing the mark, and a lot of them are falling flat. People are like, oh, they miss the, you know, the animation style that they had before because it was more whimsical, magical. They were able to depict everything in a different way.
Yeah.
Now the live action, it kind of lacks all of that.
It's all so grounded.
It's all grounded and weird. It's like, if we wanted to watch a live action movie, we wouldn't be trying to watch, you know, a fantasy fucking
Snow White
movie, right? Like, because with animation, you can do so much more.
Well, I think
that you're right on that point.
To add to that, I think that that's a good point, because it's a credit to animation films, because we see a lot of these animated movies try, like, you know, are trying to make into live action, they've fallen flat for the most part. You know, like we look at what's recently been live action, like One Piece, fucking Death Note. Let's, like, all those movies have fallen really flat, or like even some of the old Disney movies that they're trying to bring back, and they just, it just doesn't, it doesn't have that same magic and mystique. And I think that's one of the good points about, like, that when you make something animated, you can, it's supposed to be whimsical, it's supposed to be a fantasy, like, it's supposed to be like, you know, it gives it this little depth that is something that we can't create with a live action. It doesn't matter how big the budget is, it's just something that just doesn't really translate well.
You know, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a big animation guy.
Yeah.
So somehow I love comic books, but I'm not a huge animated film person.
Yeah, you've criticized a lot of anime just based off of the animation stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, then there are a few movies like Mind Game that really, like, get to me for some reason. And I think it's because of the fact that it's different.
You can't do this. Like, there's no fucking way you're doing this live action.
Because it's like you said, like, they're, you know, Studio Ghibli, like, they have their formula. Yeah. It works. And these are incredible, beautiful films, you know? Like, I really like The Boy and the Heron and some of the Spirited Away and all that, right? But then there's something like this that kind of, like, really opens up, like, your mind on, like, what animation can really be.
Yes.
And it's like very, very few films that I like. You know, there's Mind Game, Chicken Run, Shrek 2.
Chicken Run is...
you forgot Iron Giant in there, Haas.
Iron Giant. That's you know, those are a few animated Puss films that Boots. I personally really like. Oh, the Puss new Puss in Boots was good.
Fantastic animation.
Yeah. And like,
But even now, it's like, you know, 20 years later, you still don't see movies that look like this, even though we're at probably at a point where it's easier to do something.
But, you
like
know, it's, I think that this, again, for me, is like the emphasis on Japanese versus Western media is like, when I think of like movies, I love Shrek, you know, I love Chicken Run. Like, Iron Giant is a emotionally fucking charged
so
movie.
Good. Vin Diesel.
And, like, all of those are great, but they don't take the risks of showing, like, real life a little bit. Like, you think about Princess Mononoke, you think about, like, all of those movies that Ghibli produces, you think about this movie, Mind Game, and it's, like, they're not afraid to, like, show really dark aspects of life. Like, you know, there was, trigger warning, there's like, a lot of, like, potential rape scenes in this one, too.
Right.
You know, it had, like, beyond just typical scenes of trying to struggle with how to live life to the fullest, it touches on a lot of dark and deep, like, things that people go through in life. And I feel like Japanese animated films tend to do that more often than Western culture does. And because of that, they don't lose viewership with people who are above the age of, like, 18, you know? They actually find people who are potentially enjoying these films because they're giving them the real life that they're craving, but they're also allowing a little bit of a whimsical release in the animation. Like, nobody always wants to watch, you know, The Departed over and over again, where it's like a great movie, but it's got its themes and it's dark. Sometimes you'd like to see something like The Departed, but also with a little bit of touch of, like, animation, color, stuff like that. Just see something that's also got depth in more than one direction, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also do think it has a lot to do with the studios, right? Obviously, they want to sugarcoat everything to the point where it's digestible for a general audience, where I feel like in Japanese culture they're gonna get weird and
really weird,
and it's fine because in that culture I think it's fine to get that weird, and it's still gonna have a draw.
Yeah,
where it's gonna, I mean, this movie, for example, you just said it did really well.
Well, yeah, there's actually a point right here that I like a lot, where it's saying Aiden, the Japanese Film Board, actually put a general audience's rating on this to make sure that this film got seen by as many people as possible because of the impact.
Yeah.
And even like, you think
wait, can you repeat this? Yeah. Movie was, but what was, what do you,
so
what, I don't get that. Can you repeat that?
So because the film board thought that this was an important film, even though it had sex and violence, they still said, set it up as a general audience's rating.
Really? So that, I looked it up right now and it's 16 plus.
Well, that might over be here.
That's the U.S. Yeah.
Over here. Yes. But in Japan, they said,
keep
fuck
in mind,
that.
This movie wasn't released in the U.S. till 2018.
Yes. Right. And you know, that's controversial. Like, you think, like, but I think it's kind of a call you got to make eventually. Like, you can't hide these dark themes away from the people who probably need it the most, which are the youth who are actually developing. You know, like, you know, we talked a little bit about it before the pod, like the romance aspect of it. Like, I'm sure we've all kind of, especially going through like grade school, middle school and high school, like had these fleeting moments of like, I have feelings for this person, and like maybe they had feelings for you, and it just never worked where everybody had the balls to make it happen, you know? And like that was a good depiction in this movie. With
he
that.
Literally dated this girl for what, 2-3 years, and he didn't say a single word to her.
They pass, just notes.
They would pass by in the hallway, you know. But even after a while, he's like, we stopped sending notes, and we're just passing each other by in the hallway. And she's like, I'm gonna date somebody else.
And not only that, the date, the heartbreak of being like, I'm gonna date somebody else, and the next scene is her going to a love hotel with the guy. Is just it was
heartbreaking.
So good. It was so.
We've
good.
All been there.
Yeah, I've been the guy at the love hotel,
right?
And just across the street, right?
Right.
Yeah, just watching.
You're with your binoculars out, looking out the window.
Exactly.
He's the front desk guy.
Yeah, I worked there, part time job, but no, I think that I liked that they're willing to risk a little bit by pushing this film to broader audiences, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Studio mandates versus creativity. You know,
right?
Instead of a basic story structure, you get pacing determined by the mental state of the characters, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's a big problem we have here, right? Where in the West, they just don't want to take risks. They're like, hey, this formula has been done. It's tried and true. Do it again. And that's how we end up with Fast 10 versus thinking.
But you know, the problem is that the audience would much rather take that than something a bit more complicated to think about or to see.
You have different people, right? Like, we have to be honest. Like, here, us five in a vacuum, like, we don't just look at movies as a way to escape. Right, mm-hmm. We want movies to allow us to reflect some of our realities, challenge the way we look at things, the way we see things, but also like give us something to dream about, hope for. Versus some people, it's like maybe life is too mundane, where they just want to watch Shrek again because it's funny, because it's got good jokes, and that's enough. Or they want to see a Transformers film because the action is crazy and Michael Bay knows how to do explosions. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't knock those people for feeling how they feel. But it's a problem when you have only very few, like, studios like A24, for example, that takes risks, that says, hey, we're going to do twists that people might not like, and themes that and movie topics that are really hard to swallow.
Yeah. Well, I do like that Western media, they're starting to open up a little bit, at least with animation, like, in this regard. Like, Invincible, that's
by Robert Kirkman,
probably wouldn't have done years ago. Now, it's very, like, heavy topics.
Yeah.
There's blood, gore, all sorts of, like, crazy, you know, killing that's going on, that wouldn't have...
And the
like,
book's even crazier.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have worked, you know, 10, 20 years ago. And then same thing with Creature Commandos. It's another one that's really good. And Harley Quinn. There's a bunch of animations that are slowly starting to...
Yeah, I mean...
The doors are opening for sure.
Like, I'm reminded of that that show HBO did. Predator, I think it was. Was it? It was Predator.
Primal,
thank you.
Primal,
it was a completely quiet show. They only had one word the whole series.
Yeah.
And it was at the very end.
Yeah, dude, that was an incredible.
It was
show.
It was like a prehistoric topic, but it's like, again, it's like this risk taking.
I haven't seen
that one. It's worth a watch.
I'm willing to watch it. With
I don't
you.
Want to spoil too much, or
wait. This is HBO.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I don't want to spoil too much or get too into it, because obviously you want to focus on Mind Game, but it's again, it's the idea that, like, hey, we're taking risks, like we're doing something that's completely different. Here you have inventive art styles and like jumbling like the story at the risk of maybe losing some people, just because again, life isn't meant to be as linear as it is, you know.
And you know what's crazy to add to that point? It's just like the Japanese have been doing this for a really long time.
Yes,
they're like you look at Berserk that came out in the 90s, or like Death Note, you know, all these hard topics that they're just like, they're not like opposed to doing, like, or even more recently like Tokyo Ghoul, like they are willing to fucking put death like full frontal in front of you to drive a point.
On to fucking another one.
Well, you know, I kind of wonder if it's a cultural thing too. I think death is more openly, I guess, acknowledged. You know what? I think we've heard enough of ourselves. I want to get into the Letterbox reviews.
Letterbox.
Well, actually, one more thing that I was going to say that was a little bit off topic. We were talking about how these companies are, like, these big studios, right, are limiting these people from creativity. So in the future, do you think that, like, obviously with people or creators trying to go towards more like indie, you know, trying to make things a little bit more like, you know, guerrilla style,
right,
with AI up and coming, it's going to be easier for those people to do those creatives, just because they're no longer going to have to rely on these big studios? Because, like, I mean, think about it, down the road you're going to be able to use AI to almost create a film that's like to the level of quality that a lot of these studios are producing. So that might change down the road.
Yeah, I mean,
it will open up creativity a lot more.
You know, I think there's always these like phases in the film industry, right? I think like you had like these like very classic films, you know, speaking in particular with Hollywood, right, in the 50s and the 60s, right, very, like, cut, you know, well, what's the word? Like, very square.
Yeah.
And then you have the 70s and the 80s where shit got real experimental because I think people just kind of got tired of whatever the studios were making.
Also a lot of drugs.
Also a lot of drugs. That's a good point too. But I think there's always these ebbs and flows of, you know, what's standard, and then, you know what, I'm sick of that. Let's do something that's not.
I feel like experimental is going to live still mostly in the TV series though more than anything.
What I'm saying,
especially now.
The only point I'm trying to get across is that I think it's going to be easier to produce things down the line that aren't necessarily created by huge studios, and it's going to be more independent artists. Like how the same thing where, music artists are no longer relying on these studio heads, and they have, you know, they're able to release music on their own.
Yeah.
Eventually, I feel like film is going to progress to that point where it's more on like, oh, we can't make this movie because the studio won't back it. It's like, oh no, we can still make this movie with a smaller budget because we have an ease of access to more tools down the road. And don't quote me on this, but I think like 10, 15 years down the line, it's going to be a whole lot easier to make movies because of these tools that...
Problem is most of those tools are probably AI generated. Yeah,
and that's what I'm scared of because the AI can, you know, steal art from Mind Game and then regurgitate that into somebody else's work. Yeah. And then, you know, can you really call that original art? You know,
and I'm pretty sure,
and that's a whole other topic, really.
And just to quickly add on that, like, I'm pretty sure like the studios are still gonna hold a lock on how to like make this, you know, this stuff available to us, the masses.
That's
right?
True. They do have the,
so like it's like now they can't just go to like, you know, I guess YouTube would be the best example how to put a movie out there, but then would it be hard to monetize that, you know, and get your money back out of like...
Well, I think the reason we're getting a lot more indie creators now is because of the ease of access to like the internet and other platforms where they don't need those studios. So,
well, I think it also just...
I mean, that's way different now than it was a few years ago. So
I think what's helped a lot of indie is just being able to have cheaper equipment to do the same amount of work that you could do back in the 90s, you know? Like, you can buy an FX3 for, like, $2,000, and you have yourself a professional. All right,
we're getting into numbers now.
Well, yeah, I mean, just some food for thought. Yeah. I think that it is something that's interesting that I feel like is happening, and I would like for it to be beneficial and hopefully help artists create more things like Mind Games, but who knows? Maybe it might, you know, almost be some steps back.
Yeah.
But we'll
All right, we have a range of ratings here, which is really interesting. So really this fun. One, I like that. Yeah. This one's by Max Mond, 1.5 stars out of 5. They say, "I didn't understand a thing, which would be fine if we were in some heightened abstract reality, but we are not. The movie is very much grounded in the real world, and the weird complexity it adds to it only serves to confuse the viewer. While none of it is offensively bad, it isn't that great either. 1.5 stars.
Did Isaac write this review?
I think this guy's just like, I don't want to be mean, you know.
Critical thinking skills are a virtue.
Exactly. Thank you, Andre.
Critical that's a great way thinking to put skills that, are a virtue.
That's the nicest thing you said all day.
Yeah. Yeah. They are from Copenhagen. And their bio says, "I have taste. I'm just not quite sure what it is yet." And that's true. I can tell.
Straight
I
need to know. Ass.
That's said.
Ass.
Next Letterboxd review.
Next. All right, this one. Antonina. 5 stars. Literal piece of art filled me with so much love that I couldn't fit it in my body. 5 stars.
Do not put movies inside of your body.
Do not.
Next.
Do not. Next.
I'm just kidding.
Next.
Well, good
thank
thing
you.
There's
good
no
stars.
More physical media, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck.
Imagine sticking a disc up your asshole. Shit, that's shadow.
At least it's not a gun.
Hey,
at least it's not a gun.
You could stop a gun, though. You could clench your cheeks. Good luck doing that to a disc. It's going to break.
Honestly, hey, the only one that can do that here
I'm
is
probably
me.
Doing it after.
Hey, bro.
I don't know.
Hey, if that disc is wide enough, you're going to meet God for sure. You know what I'm saying?
All right, this was interesting. This one is by Meg. 3.5 stars. What if given this a 9 out of 10 if it wasn't for the extreme perviness throughout? Kind of ruined it for me. 3.5.
That is a barrier for people. It is hard. Yeah. Like, you got to be honest about how Western media does not translate well when it comes to Eastern media's, like, pervy culture, to be honest. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's just something that...
I think it's just an acknowledgement of how... you know, things are over there at that time. And, you know, maybe even now there's a lot of, like, scenes where, like, somebody's trying to, like, look up skirts and stuff.
Not,
and, like,
I mean,
well,
dude, it's not even that.
That just still happens in, like, mangas and animes
exactly.
all the time.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But it's not even that. Like again, I'm going to try. Last time I referenced Boy and the Heron, I was watching it with my girlfriend, and she couldn't get over the fact that the mother, when she ends up dying, the father ends up marrying the younger sister. Yeah, the younger sister. And it's like, she was like, this is fucked up, this is horrible. And I had to explain, I was like, this is culturally something they did. Like, it's not weird for them. Like, you have to take a step back and be like, my culture is not the only right culture. You know, how we do things isn't the only right thing. Now, does that mean that, like, all the other pervy stuff is good or fine or whatever? No, it's just, you have to understand that, unfortunately, you know, your culture is not always going to relate.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue, is that, like you said, it's a cultural thing. And I think a lot of us, a lot of people, you know, they have a lot of hang-ups with things like that.
Yeah.
And then they let that kind of get in the way of what the film actually is.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, to them, it's like, oh, I'm just putting this in because, you know, this is normal. I see it. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, it's like, oh, this guy's a fucking perv. Like, why are they doing that? And it's, you know.
In another way, too, like, Tarantino talks about how in his films there's a lot of N-words.
Mm.
And he always feels like, he's like, well, I'm not saying it. Or even if I am, it's meant to be depicted as racism, right? And so he's like, that's the point. Like, there's a purpose behind it. And yes, it could be uncomfortable and it could be bad. And I'll be honest, I'm one of the people who don't always like how much Tarantino likes to include the N-word in his films. Like, sometimes I'm like, you're just doing it for shock factor. Right. Like,
for everyone at home, Nick's black. So
yeah,
you know, it's
exactly.
Yeah.
But no, for reals though, it is one of those things where it's like, you don't always have to like the shocking aspects or the things that are different. You just got to understand that your culture can't. It's not always by your people.
Just take it as a whole and take it for what it is versus what you want it to be.
We'll say the Japanese culture is very pervy.
And we're not saying recognize the context and move on. You know, we're acknowledging it. You know, think about how it makes you feel.
Right.
And it can still be genuinely upsetting. So fair point.
Yeah, yeah.
And clearly they were the villains in this also. So it does serve a purpose. Like, this is bad.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what? They gave it 3.5. And at least they didn't give it a 1 because of that, you know. All right, last one. I don't think it's the best one, but it's the last one. This is by Jaskaran 2511. 4.5 stars. I feel like this is what it's like to take drugs.
Jaskaran 2511. I agree.
Yeah. Very unique piece of media, though. I literally cannot explain it, but interesting nonetheless. Very similar in style and vibe to the Monogatari series.
Have not checked that out, and I gotta check that out. That's right. Great rec, thank you.
Monogatari series.
Well, you know, since we're all straight edge, none of us take drugs. That's exactly what it would look like.
Yeah.
You know, if I were to do something.
Yes. If I want to take drugs, I'll just watch this movie. Yes. I don't. You know, that's
exactly. This is the drug.
Yeah, I'm high on pot news. That's it.
Yeah, high on pot news. Well then, should we get into the ratings?
Yes.
Let's do it.
I'll start. I will give this one a 9 out of 10. That's it. Next.
All right, I'll take next. For me, this is 8.5. I really liked it, but I think this is one of those that it'll probably be higher on the next watch, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I do feel like, and which is great. I do feel like it has rewatchability.
No hate to this movie. I think it might be for the right audience. I do give it a higher score than what we started before this conversation, but I just don't think it's for me. Like, it's something that was so out there and so weird that I'm going to have to give it a 6, but I do understand you guys' viewpoint on giving it.
That's so interesting. You gave no indication at all that you were going to give it
a low
score.
That was like out of left field.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere.
It threw me off so much. But like, I feel like the whole movie was like kind of crazy.
You should have given us a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it seemed like you were agreeing with everything we were saying.
I know, yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, I give it a fucking 6 like, out of 10.
Like I said, I wouldn't recommend this movie to anybody because like, it's so fucking weird and crazy. And then also, it's not for me, dude. Like, this is not the type of genre movie that I enjoy, you know, but that doesn't mean that other people can't.
That's like, crazy.
I wish we would have heard that opinion.
I know, like,
yeah, the time and the space, and yeah.
And don't get me wrong, if only I love someone, animation too.
If only someone put a mic in your hand to talk about that.
You know,
you know what? We should talk about it.
I feel that was the most controversial thing. Yeah, that was the most controversial. I feel like with
just wants to backtrack. He's like, hold up, man.
No. We somehow confused George, and he gave it a lower score.
No. He said his score went up.
I started lower, dude. I was like,
I don't believe that, though. I don't believe that.
It was like 4 or 5 territory in the beginning.
What?
No, because you were like, dude, right when the movie ended, you're like, damn, that was good.
Not only that, but you're like, damn, a phenomenal art style. Yeah. Everything had its own purpose. And
yeah,
like,
6 out of 10.
The only thing you did not
you
like.
Know, not for me, dude. What? I can't fucking.
No. There's nothing wrong with having that opinion. The problem is that the whole podcast, you were like, yes, man, about all of what we were saying. And had your own points of like, wow, it really depicted the drug trips in an interesting way. It's like this movie.
I hated that scene. I was just like, yo, the way they depicted God, perhaps I fucking did it was not too like real.
Perhaps instead of going off on a 10-minute tangent about AI, we could have talked more about your thoughts.
I know. Oh, but also, shit. I didn't want to be fucking over here just scolded the entire podcast.
No, what's wrong? We want to scold you.
Yeah, well, you
no, 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 hold on. Like I said, I enjoyed it. I don't think it was a bad movie. It has its audience, but that audience is just not me. That doesn't mean that it's bad. I like it. I think it's going to be for a particular type of person. I wouldn't recommend this like casually to someone that just like, hey, I want something easily digestible. Like,
well, yeah, no shit.
Exactly. So that's why I'm like, it's not for me.
Is this too hard for you?
But you don't just give good ratings to easily digestible movies.
No, right. I know, but I like different types of genres. This is not a film that's like within the genres that I enjoy for the most part. Like, you know, this is just...
Too many Japanese people.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Not enough bombs, you know?
Not enough bombs.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, that's the real answer.
But, you know, don't be afraid to talk about them. We won't
score. Hey, Isaac was fucking talking mad shit. If he gives it anything higher than a 6, he's a fucking liar.
No, I said I talked mad shit about specific
That guy's
moments.
A liar!
I was willing
to share
an honest
opinion.
That guy
is not real.
What's the Adam saying?
Wait.
Technical foul!
Technical foul!
I don't know, George, for giving us so many yeses, he gave us a shitty score.
Jesus Christ. You didn't hear what I fucking just said?
Out of 10.
I articulated pretty fucking well. Like,
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, like at the end. All right, Isaac.
I give it a 7.5 out of 10.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Fuck you,
see, you guys are not going to fucking guilt trip me into giving it a higher score because it's like, bro, there's some movies that I feel like I should have graded higher and then or lower even. And I'm like, no, you know what? I'm going to go with my gut and what I feel's right. And 6 feels right.
No, there's nothing. The problem wasn't that you used your gut to rate it. The problem is that you ignored your gut the rest of the podcast. That was the problem.
True. I highlighted the points.
You know what? You know what?
I know, but you didn't bring any negative points to it.
But I didn't say that I liked the movie like that much, like to the point where it's like a 7,
you're
8.
You're right that you didn't necessarily glaze on this movie, but you have to admit that when...
There were certain points that I liked. That's why I talked about
when
that.
The four
all
other,
talked about.
When the four other people in this room were shocked, you have to think maybe I didn't say enough of what I did.
You know what's crazy is that we probably do have the evidence of him just praising the movie.
Yeah, we do.
It's not like that doesn't exist.
God.
Andre, keep inserting points of him saying good shit about this fucking movie.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think, Andre? Right.
Well, I kind of liked what you said about you would probably give it a higher rating if you rewatched it in your future. I haven't seen this movie in years, and I gave it a 9 at the time. And, I mean, to be honest, I came away with an even greater appreciation for it now that I've rewatched it. And I was trying to think the whole time, you know, listening to you guys for this pod about what are some other movies that are, like, similar to this, and I just can't think of any. I think this is, like, a 1-of-1.
No, yeah.
So I'm giving this a 10 out of 10.
Wow. Hey, incredible.
Wow, dude.
Maybe I'll balance out the 6.
Oh, is that what you're 10, you fucker? Crazy.
Overall, what's our score?
Overall, the 4 guys, 1 film crew, when it's just 5 of us, actually. Overall, 8.2. Fuck you, George.
Hey.
You fucked it up. You fucked it up.
I know, man. That was horrible. I don't know, man. George can't appreciate good media.
If you tell someone it's a 10 out of 10, they're going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
yeah, but that's your opinion, George. Hold the fucking opinion.
Look, Gator, seems like you're just bandwagon over there because you were talking shit the entire fucking movie.
I talked
movie,
shit about 20% of the movie.
And for you to give it a 7 is crazy.
I, like 7. I said,
this has been 4 guys, 1 film.